is the Cliffo and Bronte podcast.
Today on the Cliffo and Bronte podcast, I pull the ultimate Swiftie on air.
Yeah,
just
this
switcheroo
was unheard of. I thought I presented enough evidence to prove my point that you, Cliffo, yes, are actually Santa Claus. And then in walked the man himself.
You gaslit me so hard that for a while there, I believed I was Santa Claus. Until I was in the same room with St. Nicholas, with the man himself.
Yes.
If you missed that, it's coming up on the pod. We also asked the question, what gift are you getting for Christmas, but what do you actually want?
Yeah. What's the practical, actual gift that you want that isn't, you know, a typical prezzy?
Man, there was some shockers on the list.
Wood chips. Just FYI, that's coming up.
Wood chips. Clickbait Cliffo, Julie Goodwin on the show.
Scam Watch,
so much more.
Oh, it's a big one.
It's the Cliffo and Bronte podcast.
I'm on Scam Watch this morning. I've been on Scam Watch the past few days, and I just needed, again, a bit more evidence before I presented my case. And it's just weird.
The last case you presented put forward the notion that I am, in fact, Santa Claus. So
very successfully.
Don't be offended if I'm a little sketchy when it comes to these cases you're putting together.
I think you might actually be a good kind of sounding board for this, because I've seen heaps of people posting on their Instagram story. These are all different people from different walks of my life kind of posting the same weird messaging on their Instagram story. And I can't tell if it's a scam or not, because it all says the same thing. It says, I'm looking for people to participate in a huge book exchange. All you have to do is buy your favorite book and send it to a stranger. Oh,
I've seen this.
I'll send their details in a private message. You'll receive a maximum of 36 books back to you to keep. There will be favorite books from strangers. If you're interested in taking part, reply to this message within. And it just seems really dodgy to me.
I saw a friend share this one.
Yes.
It's being shared almost like chain mail sort of style. People are copying it and pasting it. I saw it on Instagram.
Yes.
And I'll be honest, my interest peaked straight away because I'm a reader.
That's what I thought.
To the point where I actually messaged this person. I said, what's the go?
Oh,
and they
God.
Said, I don't really know. And she sent back like the details with an address on it.
What?
Who I was supposed to send a book to. I haven't done it because it does it doesn't seem quite right to me.
There's something weird about it, and the fact that you, the first time I saw it, I was like, oh, that's interesting. You've obviously gotten me a bit more into reading this year and now. But then when I read it, I saw the next person post the same message with the same weird stock image, and I was like, there's something bizarre going on here. And now the fact you did it and it gave you the ick. Scam Watch.
So if anyone else has done this, I was asked to send it to, I mean, I won't do the full address or whatever, but I was asked to send it to someone in Lake Cathy in New South Wales.
What?
Someone with the initials, I'll just say, again, don't identify this person. The initials MP.
MP.
Lake Cathy in New South Wales.
But this is not the person who originally posted the call out.
I just reckon there's an MP in Lake Cathy, New South Wales, that's just getting a shit ton of books they're going to resell online.
Tomorrow, not only is it our last show together, it's also kind of the official, unofficial beginning of the Christmas season.
Yeah, didn't we do well there?
Yeah.
Like our last show literally being December 1.
We planned it that way. And in the lead-up...
The Jimmy Nay show starting and we have to get off?
But no.
By the way.
It was timing-based. We were talking yesterday off the air just like about what it is we're getting for Christmas this year. It's hard as an adult, I think, when parents ask you, when partners ask you, what do you want for Christmas? Because we're both pretty lucky. I think if there's something we really genuinely want throughout the year, we kind of just buy it ourselves or we wait till there's a sale on. It's not like when you're a little kid and you kind of make a list and you're like, I want this, and you've saved up all year or whatever. Now it's kind of like, well, if you want something, you just kind of get it. And so then when people ask you, well, what do you want for Christmas? You're like, I don't really know. I don't know what I want.
You asked me yesterday, and it was a real kind of, for me, it was a bit of a moment of reflection, because you said, what are you getting for Christmas? And I said, do you want to know what I want?
Yeah.
or do you want to know what I'm getting?
Yeah.
Because I find they're often two very different things.
They are, as an adult. I think you're right.
So which one do you want to know? Do you want to know what I want?
You tell me.
Do you want to know what I'm... I can tell you both if you want.
You tell me first what you are getting.
Okay.
But then tell me, because this is what I loved, what you actually want.
What I'm getting is a new smart speaker. Mm. Right?
You love a smart speaker.
That is a... Isn't that just like a Christmas gift?
Yeah.
I'm getting a smart speaker.
Perfect.
That's what I'm getting.
What, Cliffo, do you want for Christmas?
A trailer load of wood chips to put in the garden. What
so
I want,
that's what you want.
What I want delivered to the front of my house is a trailer load of premium pine wood chips.
Because,
and that's what I, when Michelle said, "What do you want?" That's what I said.
Yeah,
she said, "I can't. I'm not getting you wood chips."
Because what?
I refuse to buy you wood chips.
Romantic enough for Christmas?
I don't think it's presenty enough.
Yeah, but that's
but I
what
don't
you
like
want.
The look of the garden around the pool at the moment. It's just got dirt. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, my idea is, I want to put wood chips around it. Then come. You know, pretty much Christmas every year, I'll just put a new load of wood chips on there. So if Michelle was smart, she could be really signing up the next 10 Christmases here.
I just think it sparks something in me that as an adult, there's things that you actually want for Christmas, but the things that you ask for. So for me, I've asked for a massage voucher from Dill, my partner. I'm like, yep, a massage. It's easy. Something I kind of want. I never really book in for. What do I actually
that's
want?
That's what you're getting.
That's what I'm getting. What I actually want is I'd like for him to pay for a cleaner to come into my house and clean my house for just one day.
What a win.
That's what I want. You can't ask someone for that.
So what we want is pine wood chips.
Yeah.
A cleaner to clean the shower.
In particular, the shower.
Beck, have you got one? Producer Beck? What you're getting versus what
you
actually...
Getting?
Do you know what you're getting?
I do know what I'm getting because I need a new pair of like gym headphones. So
okay.
I know that my sister's getting me a pair of those.
There you go.
What I really want, it's a little bit unrealistic, but I really just want someone to cook me dinner every night, you know?
So you want a boyfriend who cooks?
Look, this is what we want to know on 13 10 60. What are you getting for Christmas? What's the typical, not typical, but what's the Christmas gift that you'll be getting for Christmas?
Yeah.
But then, what do you actually want?
What do you actually want?
What's the non-sexy, non-really romantic, non-Christmassy thing you actually want for Christmas?
Just the practical thing that you actually want. Doesn't matter. If you don't know what you're getting, that's cool.
That's fine.
Hey, you may be surprised. You may actually get the thing you want.
Yeah.
But let's all forget about like what we're getting.
Mm.
Let's just tell, like, what do you want?
What do you want?
Wood chips, a clean shower.
Yep.
And
dinner cooked.
A warm home-cooked meal. 13 10 60, and Michael's here. How you doing, Michael?
Good, and yourself?
Good. Merry Christmas. Is it too early to say that yet?
No, not yet.
That's good.
Right, maybe tomorrow. December 1.
Yes.
So, Michael, what do you have something to contribute as to what you're getting for Christmas and what you actually want?
Well, it's my wife. What she wants is a bigger washing machine, but what she's getting is a brand new necklace.
That is,
I gotta say,
perfect.
10 points for the necklace. Like that's a very sweet romantic gift to give. But that poor woman, all she wants is to not have to do three loads when she can get a big washing machine and do one. You're taking that from her, Michael.
Well, we can get that any time.
Okay.
Christmas is for her.
Yeah, but you won't, Michael.
That's what
you're not going to do it, though, Michael.
It's so true.
Give the woman what she wants.
Yes.
Robin's here. What do you actually want for Christmas?
I want an ironing board. I'm currently using an ironing mat on my kitchen bench, and it's not been very fun.
Robin.
Do you know what you're getting?
Yeah.
I had to get myself a new phone because I dropped my old one in the toilet.
Oh, they're both very unsexy.
Yeah.
Your phone's kind of cool, but you just genuinely want an ironing board.
If they want an ironing board,
people want an ironing board.
Kim's here. What are you getting for Christmas, but what do you actually want?
My dad is getting me coffee mugs because I love novelty coffee mugs.
Cute.
But what I really want is I want like an actual decent coffee machine, like a barista coffee machine.
Oh, wow. He's so close.
Jeez, you've really upped the dollar value there from a mug to a barista coffee machine.
That's what she wants.
It's just teasing, isn't it?
Here's
a mug for when you
exactly
finally get your coffee machine.
He's in the right family.
Alex is here. Alex, we'll end on you. What are you getting for Christmas, but what do you actually want?
Well, I'm pretty sure that socks and jocks is what's wrapped under the tree for me at the moment.
Yeah.
But given that we've just built a nice shed where we're going to have an entertaining space, what I really want, and I'm a movie buff, so what I really would love is a pinball machine that's like an old Terminator one or Adam's Family Values or Lethal Weapon.
Is this just Cliffo that's called it's through? You Adam. Love pinball machines.
Alex, maybe both of us should leave our wives and just shack up together, mate. That sounds amazing. Hundo Thursday on your last shot to play Can You Beat Bronte in 2023.
Yeah.
We're on it tomorrow, but doing something different for our last show. So
you'll find out.
This is it. Two Hundo or nothing.
It. Yep. The money goes into my pocket, yeah. Right?
What are me, you and Beck were going to Subway.
Yeah.
For seafood subs.
I hate Subway. Mm.
I hate seafood.
Yeah. Let's not.
Well, seafood subs coming Cliffo's way.
We're getting a bit ahead of ourselves.
Danielle may win it. Yeah. Danielle, the dental nurse. Danielle,
yes,
you'd be used to people freaking at you like this.
What's that, sorry?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We used to play a game on the radio. This is years ago, Bronte. Feel free to steal this for your new show next year.
Okay.
Called Dental Mouth. Where one of the co-hosts would like sing a song.
Would do it like you're at the dentist.
You got a tool in your mouth.
Yeah, that's right. You have to sing the song and work out what
there
it is.
There you go, Danielle. Yeah. Does anyone play that game at the dentist?
No, but they do try and talk with their mouth open, and we've come pretty accustomed to what they're saying.
Oh, my God.
You'd be great at dental mouth.
You would be. She can't play. She'll win too much.
Let's see if you're great at Can You Be Bronte. Right. We're going to put Bronte in a soundproof booth right now.
Sounds good.
And for you, Danielle, we're going to put 30 seconds on the clock, 5 questions. Are you good to go?
I'm good to go.
Best of luck. Your time starts now. Who did Pamela Anderson marry after just 4 days?
Tommy.
Which major film studio launched their streaming service in 2019?
Which major filming studio?
Launched their
Netflix.
Streaming
service.
Last Christmas is sung by which pop duo?
NSYNC.
What is the smallest dog breed?
Chihuahua.
Fusilli is the type of what?
Pasta.
All right, good job. I think we got 5 answers from you. You didn't pass on any. No, got them all out. So.
No.
No, good job.
Oh, I don't know how I went, though.
No, well, this is the moment of torture now. You have to wait
for
Bronte to have a go.
I'm here.
To see how you went. 200 on the line.
Nostalgic coming out of the booth for the last time.
Did you?
Yeah.
I remember when we launched this game. Like, what, a bit over a year ago.
Yeah.
We were both like, we have no idea if this is going to work.
A year later.
Do people care?
We still don't know.
A year later, still not working, but we will flog that dead horse.
Okay. All right,
well, you're here now for the last time in 2023. Bronte Langbrook, your time starts now. Who did Pamela Anderson marry after just 4 days?
Tommy Lee.
Which major film studio launched their streaming service in 2019?
Disney Plus.
Last Christmas is sung by which pop duo?
When?
What is the smallest dog breed?
Chihuahua.
Fusilli is a type of what?
Pasta.
All right, 5 questions, 5 answers.
Lots of question marks at the end of
Well, Danielle, you're feeling a bit the same, aren't you? I'm sure about a few of these.
Absolutely.
Producer Beck, how did we go?
Okay, so Pamela Anderson married Tommy Lee after 4 days. You both got that one right. Which company launched their streaming service in 2019? It was Disney Plus. Danielle said Netflix. Bronte got that one correct. Last Christmas was sung by which pop duo? Danielle said NSYNC and Bronte said Wham. It was, in fact, Wham.
I'd love
Bronte
to hear the NSYNC
right.
cover.
The smallest dog breed was a Chihuahua. You both got that one right. And Fusilli is a type of posse. You both got that one right. So 3 for Danielle. And Bronte's ending on a clean sweep.
Wow.
They said it couldn't be done.
I said it couldn't be done.
Well done, Bronte.
Thanks, Danielle.
Dental nurse Danielle.
You have a lovely laugh.
Anytime.
I will. Bye, guys.
Bye, Danielle.
Call us anytime. You got one more chance to call this show. This is a new one with Bronte next year. Can you beat Bronte? We'll be back in 2024.
I think so. It's got to stick around. It's so fun for
me.
Well,
currently it's the only idea for the new incarnation of the show. Bronte's hanging around.
Yeah.
I'm moving to Triple M in Townsville in 2024.
Blakey got to play it while he filled in last week, so he kind of gets
the gist.
Did
you get
good vibes? Yeah, it was the redemption round, so we had Dud Jody every day, so it wasn't our best.
I mean, and it's sort of the first week of a new show together too, so he had to be nice, didn't he?
Yeah, that's true. A show that is embracing the idea that as you get older, I feel like Christmas moves from being all about the presents and things to being a day about food. And someone who knows that very well, Julie Goodwin, the original MasterChef winner with a new cookbook called Classic, available now. Morning, Julie.
Good morning.
Hi, Julie. Great to have you on. Quickly, tell us about Classic. This is a great book to wrap up and put under the tree for the food lovers in the family.
Oh, yeah, look, definitely. It's one of those books that I think if you've got this, then you've got the classic recipes that you need. So if you want to make a chocolate cake, it's in there. Perfect. You know, if you want to make a roast lamb, it's in there. It's all in the one book. So you don't, you know, it's not tricky. It's not anything sort of too fancied up. It's just the classic recipes, and then you can do with them what you will.
Love it. And that actually maybe includes one that I know Cliffo mentioned to me off air, Julie. Yeah.
I didn't know if I was going to mention this, Julie, but the most used recipe in our house by far, particularly since having kids, is your, I forget what they got, Nana, is it Nana Gina's meatballs from your very first book?
Yep, Nanny G's meatballs. Yeah.
So that page, I've got your number now. I should take a photo of it and send it to you. That page in our book, it's got like tears on it. It's got years worth of tomato sauce splatters on it.
Oh,
it's got a little note because I add a little bit of chili to the balls as well too. So I've even added a little bit. But that's got to be the ultimate compliment as a cookbook writer, hasn't it?
Absolutely. I can't even tell you. Like if I'm doing a book signing and someone brings along one of the books that they've already had in their kitchen and they go, oh, I'm so sorry, it's a bit dirty, you know. I was like, no. What that means is you use it, and that makes me so happy, you know. It's great.
And he's a good chef, our Cliffo, so he's got a lucky family that gets
to. You don't get a belly like mine without knowing how to cook a thing or two. Look, we're doing a lot of Christmas content today. It's getting closer to the big day. What would be your number one tip if, like, doing the big cook-up for the family, for all the budding chefs out there on the big day on Christmas Day?
Oh, look, number one tip is to just be organised so that when your family is there or your friends or whoever you celebrate with are there, you're there too, and you're not stuck in the kitchen doing a million things. So if that means getting everyone to bring a side dish, or if that means doing a pre-glazed ham and prawns and everyone brings a salad, you know, just figure out what it is that means that Christmas for you is not only obviously got a result in a food coma by the afternoon, but that it allows you time with your people.
Yeah, you're
right.
That's
the most important thing. It's more important than anything else. So whatever you do, don't make it some tricky, fancy. Don't go reading all the trendy magazines and trying to achieve that stuff on Christmas Day. That's not true. The day to do it.
Okay, so I need your help then. I'm going to one of those events where everyone's bringing a dish, like a side plate. I've got desserts, Julie. What's a good and I'm bad in the kitchen. What's a good, easy Christmas dessert I can bring?
Look, let me tell you, the easiest thing, and it also ticks a lot of boxes, is pav.
Yeah.
And you can make it. Like I like to do 3 different size pavlovas, and then I stack them on top of each other and shape it like a Christmas tree. Or you can do it in a ring like a wreath and decorate it with strawberries and mint leaves so it looks like a Christmas wreath. But the thing about pav is you can pre-do it.
Yep.
You whack the cream on at the end, so it doesn't matter if it cracks and looks dreadful. That's why pavlova has cream all over it, right?
Yeah.
It's to cover up all the sins that happened during the cooking. And also it's gluten-free.
Oh.
So you're instantly just ticking all those sort of dietary boxes.
Yes.
You might not be ticking for those who are sugar-free, but, you know, they've
made that choice. Yeah.
I'm literally tasting a pav, like my mum's pav in my mouth as we speak. That's one of those real visceral Christmas flavours. What, if you had to pick one, what is the Christmas flavour for you, Julie Goodwin?
Ooh. Mango chutney, curried mango chutney.
Yum!
I make that every year. I make tons of it and I give it away and I serve it with my Christmas ham and then it's on, the endless ham sandwiches that come up for Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Ham and curried mango chutney. If my house doesn't smell like, when it smells like mangoes in my house, I know it's Christmas time.
Oh, I love it. Very Queensland. We love it.
So we do love it. Well, enjoy Christmas, Julie. And everyone, get out and buy the book. It came out in October. It's called Classic. It's the latest for the OG MasterChef winner, Julie Goodwin. Thanks for joining us on the show, Jules. Merry Christmas.
Thank you so much, guys. Merry Christmas to you too.
Bad news, Queensland, but I feel that we're all getting ripped off.
You know the Langbrooks hate to be swindled. We've got a swindle meter. I hate it.
An advocate against anti-swindling.
Already this morning.
For a long time. We've talked about a scam, a potential online scam.
I hate it.
This morning. I don't know if I'd use the word scam. Maybe that's too much, but I feel like there's a section of the Australian business community that is trying to have its cake and eat it too.
Mm.
Now, since COVID, we've pretty much gone, it was happening before then, but I think we've pretty much become a cashless society.
Yep. Definitely.
Like, it's not official, but I can, hand on heart, I promise you, I cannot tell you the last time I bought something with cash.
Mm.
I just don't do it.
The only time I've had cash recently was in an office sweepstake for Melbourne Cup, and I got some cash, and I was like, what am I going to do with
this? What do I do with this?
I just use it for parking.
Can I bank it and then use it on my card?
Literally.
My local KFC place I frequent, as you'd imagine, it's gone cashless.
Completely.
It's a cashless KFC. Cashless KFC.
Wow.
They don't even have tills anymore. Like, it's craziness. That's why I was a bit shocked when the other afternoon my daughter goes to me. She was kind of sweet after school pickup and all that. She's like, Dad, can we get an ice cream?
Mm.
And I was like, sure. So near her school, there's a little general store. So we've gone in there and I've just got two paddle pops and we've gone up to pay. And the kid behind the counter is just like, $5 limit. And it came up on the cash register, was like $3 something. So I was like, oh, okay. Obviously, he had no cash.
No, naturally.
$5 limit for FPOS. So I turned to my daughter. I'm like, oh, go and pick another lolly.
Mm.
Guess you're having a great afternoon. So she goes and gets another lolly, comes and scans it, comes to like $4.30 or something. Gosh. And I look at the guy like, surely.
Come on.
Surely we're close enough. And it's getting to the point where I'm like, just put it through as $5 or send her to get something else? And then I thought, oh, we're going to get my son anyway from daycare. So I'm like, oh, just go and pick a lolly for your brother.
Yeah.
She picks the, something he likes. Next minute it's like $6.75 something. We went there for two paddle pops.
Woo, woo. Swindle meter's going
off.
Yeah,
right? I feel it. I'm being swindled. Like, you've got certain businesses that are like, no, cash is not a thing anymore. We're card only.
Yeah.
But then you've got others that are, and this is what I want to put it out there, 13, 10, 60, these businesses that are doing it. Can anyone, like, hand on heart, answer the question for me? I want to know, why are FPOS limits actually a thing in 2023?
Yeah, I want to know. I would love to know that. If you own a business.
Judgment-free zone.
I think we're both inquisitive. What 100%. Is the point of a FPOS limit? Why is it an FPOS limit?
I may have been a little bit confrontational in my setup there, but that's not what I
board,
want.
Guys, don't worry.
That's not what I want chat. I just, like you, I'm inquisitive. Like,
yes.
I genuinely want to know if you work in a business, maybe you are the owner of a business, but in a society that's being pushed more and more towards being cashless only, why are FPOS limits still a thing in 2023?
It's a fair question.
Susie is here on 13 10 60. Susie, why are FPOS limits still a thing in 2023?
It definitely is, because the bank charges are very high and the transactions are really in a limit that it's not reasonable. So rather than putting the FPOS surcharge back to the customer, they try to get it to the person who's owning the business.
I don't follow.
Yeah, so you have to pay for the FPOS machine. You have to pay for a service to get it maintained. You get a bank charge because a transaction list has been like generated for your tax statement and whatever. Mm. So there is a very high surcharge and a like whatever you will they call it.
But aren't they going to be charged that regardless of how much money I spend, Susie?
It is, but if you see the percentage on what you spend and what the surcharge is, it's very, very tricky. And I think the limit is reasonable because to make it reasonable to have the charge paid.
Right. So okay. $5. No, I kind of get it.
I don't. I'm more lost than when we started. Let's see if Dave can help out. Dave, why are FPOS limits still a thing? Can you tell us, mate?
Mate, I've got one even worse where there's a corner store that actually adds an extra fee if you're using your card.
Yeah, the surcharge.
But they've already making a profit out of their item.
Yeah.
So fair go.
I think that's what Susie was saying. So the profit they get is what you buying the good.
Yeah.
But they still have to pay the bank for having the
FPOS
machine. Which is fully tax refundable.
Is it really? See, and part of me too then, Bronte, like yes. If I'm playing devil's advocate to that, I would say, well, that's just the cost of doing business. Do you know what I mean? And I know, I know general stores would be doing it tough.
Yeah.
But, God, who's not doing it tough?
Yeah, you're so right. Cozzy lives, am I right?
Cozzy lives, mate. Cost of living, it's huge. I just don't want to be seen to be pooping on the small guy
No.
But
I see
it's all
what you
reasonable
mean.
Questions.
Yeah.
Scott might have an answer as well. Scott, why do you think FPOS limits are still a thing in 2023.
All right, Cliffo, we're going to save little Jono's corner store here next time you go in.
Please.
Right, you remember the old days where you'd have a phone plan and if you didn't update it after 24 months, you were on those old plans and, you know, 5 years later, you know, it could be unlimited for $90 a month, but they're still paying 25 cents a phone call.
Yeah.
Old Jono's cafe is doing the same thing, so he needs to update his terminal because back in the day you had to pay a minimum fee.
I see. So he's still on his old Optus prepaid or his Vodafone prepaid
FPOS
mobile plan.
I think that might be it.
We'll take one more because Rob is like a local small business owner.
Oh, there you go.
Rob, you should be able to shed light on this. Why are FPOS limits still a thing, mate?
Yeah, g'day, guys. The reason that everything is an issue these days is because the newer plans, they're all just a percentage on whatever you charge.
Mm.
And there is no service fee.
Right. So it's similar to what the last caller said. It's a plan thing.
Yeah, I use a company called Square, and they charge 1.9% on every credit card and FPOS transaction, and they don't charge anything for cash transactions through our till, and they provide the till.
It sounds like a pretty... What are they called? How can I get a cash register?
This is Clickbait Cliffo on Hit.
This one got me. You know, we do the catch-up just after six each day.
Yeah.
With the big headlines of the day. And you said you were shocked when this wasn't in the catch-up. And I said, no, a story like this is worth prime time.
Absolutely. I couldn't believe it. I was like, where is it? Surely he's across it. And he is.
A van carrying 10,000 Krispy Kreme donuts has been stolen in Sydney's West. I know we shouldn't celebrate that, but it's hard not to take out of that enterprising thief.
So it's just a woman, hey? It's a woman, yeah. Has stolen a van with 10,000 Krispy Kreme donuts.
It happened at 4 a.m. yesterday.
Uh-huh.
So it must have been the morning deliveries to all the Krispy Kremes.
Oh, no.
New South Wales police said the van was taken from outside a petrol station.
Oh, yeah.
Filling up.
That makes sense.
The van to drop off the donuts. And like you said, that's the only clues we have. Witnesses said a woman entered the unoccupied vehicle before driving off with the 10,000 Krispy Kreme donuts.
Wow.
A spokesperson for Krispy Kreme has been pretty tongue-in-cheek, pretty laxy-daisy about the whole thing.
Yeah.
The van was containing original glaze and also our new Christmas range. So it felt a bit like the Grinch was wanting to steal Christmas from us.
The spokesperson was literally smiling.
Do you reckon it's a publicity stunt? Do you reckon all of a sudden all across Australia?
Like when they stole the big mango from Bowen in Queensland and then it popped up in Fed Square in Melbourne.
How convenient that all of, it's the new Christmas range, unless this woman has been stalking and planning this crime for weeks.
Well, the other thing that's been on my mind, though, is that straight away they called the police.
Yeah.
What are police known for having for morning tea every morning? Like,
you think it's a bit too close?
And if the senior sergeant is munching while he's taking your statement, just
makes sense.
Be suspicious, I say. So this is special for the final Cliffo and Bronte show.
Yep.
Tomorrow morning, we are playing Elphabucks at 6, 7 and 8 a.m.
Oh, yes, with $1,000 on the line each time. So this answer, this free clue that we're giving you, this is for the 6 a.m. game.
First game.
And that is Wrangler.
Wrangler.
W for Wrangler.
Wrangler. So, as in like the brand that producer Beck wears.
I was going to say jeans. I'm wearing Wrangler jeans.
You're wearing Wrangler jeans
right now.
Look at you. You're going to be listening to Morgan Wallen before you know.
One of my top artists.
One of your top Spotify artists. W, your free letter. Yeah. Wrangler, your free answer for game one of Elphabucks.
Woo!
Game one just after 6 a.m. in the morning on Hit and Listener. There's been something on our run sheet for today's show that has been left wide open. You have no idea what is about to happen.
No.
At the end of Elphabucks there, I just said we are going to welcome a mystery guest to the studio. And it does revolve around a certain accusation that was made on this show at about this time yesterday.
Oh, my God.
In fact, a dossier was prepared and an argument was put forward that I... Guy Clifton, am, in fact, Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, this was about 12 months of evidence gathered from me.
Yes.
Because this is an accusation that originally was kind of said frivolously. Yeah. And then I realised, oh, no, there's enough stuff here. This is true.
You believe I'm living a double life as a radio announcer and as Kris Kringle.
I just think there's enough evidence to prove it.
Here's some of it.
You revealed that you considered us to be on the good list. You love kids. You're very jolly.
Well, I love my kids.
Your beard has a touch of white.
Yes.
You wear glasses.
Yes.
You look great in red.
Yeah.
You actually volunteered at a local toy librarian drive earlier in the year.
You did do that.
And I just noticed that you always have notebooks. You're always taking lists. You're very reflective of people's behaviour, deciding if they're naughty or nice.
It's a pretty impressive list.
It started because you're always sick around the same time every year, around 4 weeks before Christmas. And I was like, that would be a stressful time for Santa.
And then it just snowballed.
Literally snowballed.
In an effort to prove that I am not Santa Claus, I've invited into the studio.
Oh my God!
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
Santa!
Santa Claus! Santa Claus!
Ho, ho, ho!
I know him!
As we live and breathe, the Santa Claus.
Hi, Santa.
In the hit studio. Hello, Santa. Welcome to the show.
Well, great to be here.
You look great. How are you? I mean, this is the most starstruck I think I've ever been on this show. This is incredible.
Very warm. Very warm.
Yes. Well, you'd feel that all over Queensland, wouldn't you, Santa?
Turn the air conditioning up to come in now. Come down here.
I should say, and I don't know if this is a rude thing to ask Santa Claus, but the beard on your face is very much not like a stick-on beard. There's nothing fake about this at all.
Can
Bronte give it a quick pull?
That's a real beard.
That's
a real beard.
That is a real Santa Claus beard.
That's a real beard. But as is your beard, that is a real beard.
you're still not, you're not barking up this tree, are you? I have the man in front of you.
Yeah, no, it's been proven. But I think there must be a lineage involved. Maybe you were the son of Santa. How did you get Santa in studio?
All questions that we'll answer later on. While we do have you in the studio, Santa, I must ask the question. A woman, say maybe a 30-year-old woman, accusing her friend of being Santa Claus, surely that's enough to get someone on the naughty list, isn't it?
I think it's great for someone to be accused of being Santa.
That's true.
They must think really high over you that they've put you up to that level.
exactly what I was thinking. Who else, you know, would you want to be compared to?
It's not an insult. It's a great thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I reckon it is.
He's pretty happy with it.
It sounds like that's not getting Bronte on the naughty list. While you are here, for all the kids of Queensland listening, how is the list looking? Are we mainly been nice as a state this year? Or?
Yes, they've been a surge on the nice list.
Oh, good.
Been a surge.
Nice.
And as I tell children, be good to mum and dad.
Yep.
And you don't have to be nice all the time. You can be a little bit cheeky. And
good.
But on the most, because it'd be boring if you're nice.
You're so right, Santa.
So true.
That's what we get away with this show.
Yeah, well, I like that it's given us hope to be on the nice list. Santa, thank you for making yourself available. I hope this has proven. I mean, you still seem like a skeptic.
I don't know. It's like looking in a mirror for me, but it must be weird.
You pulled the beard. this is the Santa.
No, that's real Santa.
That's dark hair.
Yeah, no, I know. It can't be. You can't be.
Give it a few years, Santa. There's some white patches coming through.
The more you work with Bronte, the more
is white. Santa.
You know, Santa.
Oh, no.
Thank you for coming in, Santa. Merry Christmas and enjoy the best month of the year.
Yeah. Have a very Merry Christmas.
That was the Cliffo and Bronte podcast.